The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski, joining you for week two, Catherine. Hard to believe. Feels like we were just in Pittsburgh, but I guess everything that happened Sunday night sort of warped my whole sense of time and place and everything else.
Yeah, I feel like my body still doesn't know what day it is thanks to a Sunday night game and thanks to the kind of Sunday night game we had. What a game.
Yeah, it was very difficult to watch Monday Night Football with Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy, with all due respect, after the matchup with Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. You know, just let's, I guess, take people into, you know, we were there. What was it like, just the aftermath? What were your thoughts just overall? Because I, personally, I did not see them coming back and winning that game with the way that everything was going.
It's funny. I have a friend who had texted me earlier in the day being like, I'm sure you're going to have a weird game that'll keep you there until 4 a.m. And after a certain point in the game, I was like, I guess he's wrong. It's going to be just a blowout, whatever. And then a little later, he was like, no, you're having a weird game. So Bills win it 41-40 on a game-winning field goal. Josh Allen, let's talk about his performance and just what it means going forward for the season.
It was very interesting to hear Joe Brady talk on Monday, to transition a little bit out of it, because he was mad at himself for those 2 3-and-out drives in the first half. He wanted to try to get Josh more involved in the game, get him some more, I don't want to say easy throws, but get them into a rhythm offensively rather than sort of trying to force their running game on the Ravens. The Ravens were stacking the box, so there were opportunities there and, you know, some bad plays. But the second half, I mean, Catherine, they had points on 5 of their last 7 possessions.
I think, you know, once he got in a rhythm, you can see why Joe Brady wanted that earlier. Josh Allen, just ridiculous game. I think he set a record for passing yards in the fourth quarter. Or was it an NFL record?
It was 251 yards. He completed 16 of 21 passes.
Yes, in the fourth quarter alone, which is ridiculous. I think another thing that stood out to me from talking to Joe Brady on Monday was he was saying, there's never going to be a game now this season where the players on the team are going to be able to say, oh, we're out of it. Like, you look at what they were able to do on Monday, they're always going to know they have a chance. And that comes from Josh Allen in a large part.
It was hilarious talking to Joey Bosa in the locker room afterward. He was just in shock. Like, he couldn't believe it, because he said he's been involved in a lot of games like that where you're down by 15 points in the fourth quarter. And admittedly, you just think there's no chance. You know, even though he had Justin Herbert with the Chargers, he said, well, I guess when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, you're not out of any game in this situation.
Right. And let's look around the offense too. I mean, obviously they stepped it up so much towards the end of the game, but what did you make of the receivers?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, that first half, it was pretty disappointing. I mean, Keon Coleman dropped that screen pass. Josh Palmer, you didn't really see much from him. Dalton Kincaid was probably their best receiver in that the first half of that game, especially that catch late in the first half. But second half, it really seemed like everybody was really contributing. I mean, Khalil Shakir had some nice catches, but Keon Coleman, you know, we saw throughout camp the improvement that he was making, how often Josh Allen was targeting him in practice, and they really just built off of that. And it's going to be consistency with him. But in the end, some big plays down the stretch. That last catch, you know, it looked like he was going to get into the end zone. He gets tripped up, but they still get the field goal.
I think there's so much for them to build off of this game, too. Like you mentioned, some of it goes back to training camp, stuff we've seen trending since Pittsburgh days. But I think now it's like, okay, this is working on the field, too. It took a while, of course. Again, some of that early first half, not what you wanted to see from this Bills offense, but they're going to go back and dissect what went wrong. And, you know, there were drops, there was a fumble, stuff like that that Joe Brady can't control, but he really wants to redo what he did on play calling.
And I thought the offensive line didn't have a great first half either, and this whole group didn't play in the preseason together. Josh Allen didn't play in the preseason, so that has to have something to do with what we saw in the first half. So it'll be interesting to see where the offense and how the offense looks, especially early Sunday against the Jets.
Lance, I think there are some questions on the Bills' defense right now.
A few.
You know, they won. That's great. They did give up 40 points. They were gashed over and over. I think there is a lot. Bobby Babich, we talked to him. He knows that there's a lot that they need to improve on and improve on quickly, just given how the schedule works. What stood out to you on the defense? Let's dive in on, you know, all over it.
Yeah, the safety play is something that's going to be scrutinized, especially, and I think that, you know, when I covered the Sabres, everybody wanted to talk about goaltending, and some of the Sabres goalies I covered over the years, they always talked about, well, this fan base always saw Dominic Hasek, and they want to compare everybody to him or Ryan Miller. Well, when it comes to the Bills' safety play, it's Micah Hyde and Jordan Boyer. How good those two were together. So when you look at Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop, it was rough. And it's not just some of the execution, Catherine, it's the missed tackles. It's how bad it looked. You know, their operation was wrong. You know, Cole Bishop got caught deep on a – it looked like they were trying to disguise what the blitz was. He tries to blitz from 20 yards out at that point. It just – it looked bad, and that's not a good look for this defense when how – you know, how important that position is. And, you know, Taylor Rapp, they knew he was going to be a starter. So to see him have the kind of game that he had, I think that, you know, a little concerning for week one for sure.
I know they haven't had a – you mentioned how the offensive line and Josh Allen didn't all get a ton of preseason time together. This group really missed so much time from injuries. So I'm wondering how much that impacts them moving forward. But there's a lot they have to fix quickly when it comes to safety play. You know, again, those – I don't know. I'm like replaying it through my mind right now, and some of it was just ugly.
Yeah, not fitting the run. Like they're like the defensive line was occupying their blockers, and there were opportunities to take down Henry at least around the line of scrimmage. But you know, Cole Bishop could stiff arm Taylor Rapp, just diving at Henry's legs. It's just it was not great, and it's not just that. Like I don't want to pick on just one group. You know, even the linebackers. It was interesting to hear Bobby Babbage just point out that like Terrell Bernard was just overthinking at times.
Yes.
You know, there was one of the, I think it was the 30-yard run that Henry scored on, where clearly like Bernard was in the middle of still making a check when they snapped the ball, and I think that was a big part of it. The Ravens, they know the Bills. They're very familiar with each other.
Yes.
And they came out and they snapped the ball much quicker than they did in that playoff game. And they mixed up tempos to really throw that Bills defense off balance.
I think that's what happened on that Cole Bishop blitz, yes, too, perhaps. hopefully something like that happened because he was just so out of position,
yeah,
there. What was good on the defense to you?
Corner. I felt like I know that it's easy to criticize Christian Benford because of that DeAndre Hopkins touchdown, and the numbers overall don't look good, but I thought Benford was really good against the run. Some of the tackles he made on Henry were very impressive. And Dorian Strong, you wrote about him for our Saturday paper last week, and there were a lot of questions. There was a lot of uncertainty. It's a rookie sixth round pick,
right,
against a very good offense. How is he going to look? And Catherine, you can point out the defensive holding penalty, which is pretty ticky-tacky in my opinion.
Yes, I agree.
Barely touched Zay Flowers on that route. And there was that one crossing route that probably should have been credited to Strong that he sort of got confused on, you know, on the pre-snap motion. But overall, I mean, he was really good. I think Bobby Babich even said he was one of the bright spots on defense when they went back and watched the film.
Yeah, Sean McDermott had high praise for him too, just saying, you know, he was able to get thrown into it and stood up to that test. Defensive line, I felt up and down about.
I agree. I mean, Ed Oliver was outstanding.
Yes.
he was so good in this game. But you look at Joey Bosa, that's the one that when I rewatched the game, he really stood out to me because against the pass, he did a lot of really good things. You saw what he could bring as a pass rusher, but against the run, yeah, he bit too many times on the fake handoffs. He got called out of position. And he knew it after the game. Like he lost contain on Lamar a couple of times. But, you know, this it's interesting with this defense because looking ahead to this week, Catherine, the Jets, they don't have Lamar Jackson. They don't have Derrick Henry. The offensive line isn't as good. But really, this offense they're going to be facing on Sunday is very similar. The Jets like to run the ball. They've got a mobile quarterback. So a lot of what we saw Sunday from the Bills, it has to be corrected in a hurry. Like, because Breece Hall is very good. The Jets offensive line is still improved. And they've got some weapons that Justin Fields can use to, you know, gash them if they're not careful.
You've been working on it, or you just had a deep dive on the defense. Excuse me. I have my days all mixed up. What were your main takeaways just for this group as a whole and how they move forward?
I think that it's easy to pick apart the game plan, but I thought that they had a pretty good game plan for stopping the Ravens. It just was execution. It was missed tackles. It's not, you know, a defensive lineman not reading their keys. But I think when you really look back at the stops in the fourth quarter, or the one they had on that first drive to force a field goal, that defensive line, it was very good. And I think that's going to be the key for this defense moving forward. You know, whether it be Russo, Oliver, Bosa, the guys who rotate in, it's about consistency. But when the Bills were able to get stops, that defensive line really created havoc and made life easier on those linebackers and safeties to where you're not having to take down, you're not going to have to take down Derrick Henry in the open field. Catherine, this is a very different Jets team than the one the Bills played last season. Aaron Glenn's their head coach. He was very good as the defensive coordinator with the Lions. Justin Fields is the quarterback, as I've mentioned. They're going to run the ball a lot. This isn't the Aaron Rodgers offense. So they've got Garrett Wilson. It was interesting rewatching that game that they played against the Steelers in week one. The Jets offense, they're not making Justin Fields do too much. And I think that when he was in Pittsburgh and even in Chicago, for that matter, he was throwing the ball downfield too much. It was a lot of short passes on Sunday against Pittsburgh. And really what hurt the Jets was penalties and special teams. And special teams is interesting from the Bills standpoint because, again, there's been so much turnover with that group already. You know, they started camp with Tyler Bass and Brad Robbins as their kicker and punter, respectively. Well, they're going to go into this game with Matt Prater and Cameron Johnston, their new punter.
Yeah, quick turnover for sure. I think, you know, you look at the Jets, it's week two. Yeah. There's only so much we know about this team, but they lose 34-32 to the Steelers. But I think there's a lot that you can take out of that game of just like what these new look Jets are going to be. Aaron Glenn, I've been so impressed with what he's done over the years. I know it's a short amount of time in New York so far, but I think the way you hear players talk about him, there's so much respect there. And I think that's going to go a long way for a franchise that has been so messy for so long.
Yeah, and that team's going to be, it's going to come into this matchup with a chip on its shoulder, especially with the way week one ended. I think everybody just assumed that the Jets were going to hold on for that win, but they took some really dumb penalties and Aaron Rodgers picked them apart. So that secondary is supposed to be one of their strengths. It's going to be interesting to see how it matches up against the Bills because, you know, when you're facing some of these teams in the NFL, you can just focus on one receiver and you're good. But with the Bills, and you saw some of the different players that they got involved in the passing game on Sunday, it's going to help them go against, you know, a corner like Sauce Gardner and some of the other pieces they have in that secondary.
Looks like Justin Fields connected with six different receivers throughout the game. Does that surprise you? Do you think more or less, or where do you see that landing?
I'm not surprised because they have Garrett Wilson, who the Bills are going to have to be very careful with. 100%. I assume that we're going to see Christian Benford covering him quite a bit, but they like to spread the ball around because they don't have that number two receiver that's going to scare you. Now, they like to use a lot of two tight ends, their running backs. Like Breece Hall is the one player that I'm really going to be watching in this game because they like to use him in the screen. Like he had a reception on a screen pass for 33 yards. He looked like Breece Hall did a couple of years ago before the ACL tear. So just given what you saw, the Bills run defense and how they kind of, you know, they've struggled against running backs like that in the past. So it's going to be interesting to see how open field tackling. I think they're going to test some of the Bills, you know, especially on the perimeter. Like Dorian Strong, the one question I had about him coming into that Baltimore game, Catherine, was how was he going to do open field tackling? Because it was one area that he kind of struggled with in the preseason. You know, I think the entire team kind of did on those wide receiver screens. Do we see the Jets do something of that nature? Because, you know, force the Bills to show you they can stop it, because you saw, I mean, especially that Zay Flowers touchdown on Sunday where, you know, the left tackle pulls and blocks Benford and he was off to the races.
It is a copycat league, as they love to say. And I think that's what makes it so interesting facing the Jets a week after they face the Ravens, where there are some of those similarities just inherently. Let's talk Jets defense for a bit. You know, they have done so much work there, but obviously gave up 34 against the Steelers. What stands out to you there?
I just don't think they're going to be able to get enough pressure on Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think especially when you get that week one game out of the way with the Bills offensive line in that second half, easy to overlook amid all the chaos that happened Sunday night, but they gave him time to throw in that second half. And
if you
give him time to throw, especially with the receivers, like I thought it was notable in that game. Little bit of a sidebar is just Dalton Kincaid looks healthy.
Yes.
And not only does he look healthy, Catherine, but he was blocking on the perimeter when they use him in those situations. And if they have him as a receiving threat in this offense, you pair that with Joshua Palmer, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and even Elijah Moore, like this offense is going to be very difficult to stop. It's going to take a defense like the Ravens for the Bills to really be slowed down unless they get in their own way, which we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, they are able to do it, though, so we'll see.
Sure.
I want to see what happens more. I'm curious just to see what Hawes does in another game. He had that one big reception that was so key, but, you know, was so useful as a blocking tight end, too, that I think that's, you know, kind of what they're looking for him to do is have those big blocks, but then also be available when needed.
Yeah.
You talk about Dalton Kincaid. I think just the way they're able to deploy their tight ends is so interesting, the way they've built it up over the years.
Yeah, and we only saw that jumbo package with Alec Anderson, I think, three times on Sunday. So is that something we see more of against the Jets? Because they weren't able to run the ball. Like James Cook, he had that 51-yard reception, and he ended up with over 100 total yards. But in the end, they weren't able to run as effectively and efficiently as they'd like to. So I assume we're going to see them get back to that on Sunday.
It sounded like it from what Joe Brady was saying about how that was part of them being out of rhythm early in the game. It didn't make sense to get Alec Anderson out there maybe through the first four drives or so. But then it took a while in the game to get him involved, and it was still kind of slim there. So I would expect him to be a little more involved this week.
Yeah, and it sounds like they want to operate in 12 personnel with two tight ends, because it does do so much for your run game. That is, I don't want to say the foundation of the offense, because you have Josh Allen,
right,
but it is so key to keeping defenses off balance so they can't just have five DBs on the field and just focus on covering Josh Allen instead of, you know, you have to keep him honest with the run.
There is so much to watch in this matchup. We will have all your coverage leading up to it and from the game itself at MetLife Stadium as well on BuffaloNews.com. So make sure you're reading there. And we will be back next week. So make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.